But yeah, you can tell a lot of things in practice, and if you're getting better. One of the big things is individuals. You know, we can tell if an individual is making some strides and learning and understanding our concepts and what we're trying to do.
Can you talk a little bit about Thomas Beretta and Alex Smith? And,
sure.
Because they really seemed to have spurts out there where they were playing really well together.
Well, they do, and they do. And I think Alex had some good opportunities this weekend scoring. We've got to get him more involved. So he's one of the guys that aren't on a special teams yet. So in a case where you're taking penalties or it's power plays PK the whole first period, he doesn't get much ice time, and it's hard to keep him into the game, you know, and you get jacked up to play, and all of a sudden you're sitting on the bench for 10 minutes, whatnot, or you get out there for a minute, and then you're sitting another 5-6 minutes. It's difficult, and you have to – and here's a player who's coming from a team where he played in all situations and played all the time, and you have to get used to that. You have to make sure you stay in him mentally and prepare for every shift. So he's played well. I thought Thomas is making some strides. We're getting him on some special teams. I don't think he had too many opportunities. He had a good opportunity Friday. Should have shot the puck, trying to be unselfish. So, but he's very coachable. Both those guys are. Once you tell them something, they take it in and they can process and put it into the game almost immediately, which is a good thing. And Renke, obviously the other freshman who's played, has been outstanding. He's been really good. And I just think he's going to be a heck of a player and have a real good career. And he's already on a power play, and you can tell he can make a difference there and controls it and understands what's going on. He's got good vision and good anticipation and where the puck should go.
He really does. He's a fun player to watch.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Next question for Coach says, does or has the coaching staff provided any, for lack of a better term, penalty instruction before or during the season, pointing out the specific do's and don'ts with respect to each type of penalty in college hockey, or is it assumed that these basics are understood by all players?
Well, yeah, this year was, they didn't change any rules, so there was not really any rule changes other than some changes in regards to
emphasis.
Well, right? Yeah, but I mean, like on offsides, you know, a goal on an offside or something like that, how you had to handle. But there wasn't a specific rule change. It was just more emphasis on calling the game. And yes, we've discussed that. We've talked about that. But until you get in the games and understand it, and sometimes the video or what you've seen has no correlation or carryover to the games per se. And I think we're at a point this first few weekends that there hasn't been a lot of correlation to what they've called and what the points of emphasis. It's almost like they've gone, I want to say, overboard with it. Like, and when you see the penalties, the 10 penalties that were called on Saturday, there's some that, you know, they're, I don't want to say they're making things up, but they're really going out of their way to find things in areas and spots that have no really bearing on the game. Like, and that's part of the deal, is you have to have a feel for the game, a sense of what's going on and what the game's like. And these guys are not even letting that happen. I mean, it's tough. It's tough as a player. I mean, can you imagine being out on the ice, not, you know, like Matty Roy, I mean, totally frustrated on his penalty. Alex Smith, Mark Ox in front of the net, and two guys fall down. He gets a penalty for interference. I mean, it's crazy right now. So, but it's both teams have to go through it. It's harder on the road. You always know you're going to kill more penalties on the road probably than you are at home. So we just hopefully will continue to grow and learn from it.
This listener also reminding us that Michigan Tech is the seventh most penalized team in Division I hockey right now.
Yeah.
And the average is 24.5
Well,
minutes per
and
game.
And part of that is the guys who got thrown out up at Minnesota Duluth, you get 5 minutes or 2 minutes and a 10. And so it adds up in a hurry. But, yeah, well, this weekend we took, they had 8 power plays. It's crazy. Like, it's absolutely crazy. And I'm looking forward to talking to Greg Shepard sometime today. Just, I want him to watch the penalties and tell me, is that the way it's going to be called? I mean, you know, and I have some concern for a little bit of it, but if that's the way it's going to be called, then boy, oh boy. And I just want the consistency. Fine. If that's what you call one time, then you got to call it the next time.
Next question is, does Mel regret not playing the backup goaltenders more last week so that they would have more, or last year, sorry, so that they would have more experience in the net?
No, you have to live in the present. You have to live in, you know, we always talk about putting our best team on the ice. each and every night to give Michigan Tech the best opportunity to win, and we do that. And if there are opportunities that came upon us in games where we thought we could get some goaltenders in and get some minutes, we did that. But, you know, we have to do the right thing for our team. And, you know, every game was so important last year, and you can see it comes down to 1 point, you know, can put you either in first or third, you know. So, no, we had to go with our best team each and every game last year. No regrets at all on that.
Can Mel provide some insight? I think you already talked about this a little bit, Coach, but can Mel provide some insight on why we are playing a D-man out of position in the fourth line instead of one of the available forwards?
Yeah, well, we just think we have seven really good players there, and currently we felt that Chris Liebringer brings more to the table than, per se, that 12th forward at this time. So, we have to give our team the best chance to win every night, put our best lineup in, and if we feel we've got seven defensemen that are better than, you know, forward 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, et cetera, then we've got to find a way to get all those guys involved in the game, and we will continue to do that.
This question says, Coach, why didn't Redmond get some playing time over the first four games?
Well, we knew we were playing on the road. We knew we were going to go and play in tough games, in tough buildings, against strong defensive teams. And part of it is we just didn't want to, number one, burn Angus, but more importantly, number two, we wanted to give the upperclassmen an opportunity to play. They've been here for a few years. They've seen a lot. They understand the importance of these games. They understand the pace of the games and the shooters, and they're a little more experienced. And, you know, I take Coach Sean's word on goaltending. I talked to him a lot about goalies, and he just felt that these two guys were more ready at this current time than Angus. So, but obviously they've got both had two games now, and we've seen, you know, where they're at. We've got a little bit of a small sample size, but they'll continue to get better. But at some point, you know, if we can't get the job done, then obviously we have another goalie. Just like any other position, if we're having trouble scoring, then we have to reevaluate what we're doing, who we're playing with whom, etc. But I don't want to overreact, and especially playing the first four games on the road against really good teams. Now, does that make it any easier, or do I accept that? No, I get it. We want to win each and every game, and I thought we put ourselves in a good position in Duluth to win that Sunday game, and you know, unfortunately, we didn't seem to be in that position either night down in Minnesota State, but we knew where we were getting into, and we'll continue to evaluate every player in each position. And Angus, we watch on a daily in practice, and I know Joe wants him to continue to grow in some areas, and once he gets to over that hump, we'll play him. But having said that, sometimes guys are gamers. You know, you watch them in practice, and, you know, they're all right, they're okay. And then you throw them in a game, and I'll give you an example. Jamie Phillips, I thought Jamie sometimes in practice was terrible, brutal, you know, and I'd just be going, what is he doing? You know, didn't want to get hit. It seemed like he didn't want to get hit with a puck some days. Like, he was actually getting out of the way. And we all know how that worked out when he got into games, and Jamie's doing quite well. He played a couple games this weekend in the American League, and even though he didn't win, the team got outshot both games, and he played well. So we'll see. You know, maybe Angus is one of those guys who maybe he's not your best guy in practice right now, and he's working hard, but maybe he just needs that opportunity to get thrown in and see what he can do.
This question.
Wow, that's a long answer, Dirk.
Well, we're staying on the goaltenders. The next question is, are you able to name...
let's get Joe Schott in here. Why don't we want to have a special show here for Joey this week or something, and we'll get the goalie guru to answer all those questions.
I know the answer to this one, but I'll have you answer it. Are you able to name the starting goaltender for Friday's home game?
Not at this point, no. I mean, I want Joe to watch the tapes. Joe was out recruiting this weekend, so he might have seen a little bit of the games, but he'll watch the tapes, and then we'll watch the first couple of days in practice, and we won't make that determination probably until Thursday at the earliest, who's going to start.
Next question, if we can take two this weekend and one at least at Michigan, this listener says, I see a lot of games that could be strung, a lot of wins that could be strung together. Do you, Coach, think this is probable?
Absolutely, I do. I mean, I fully expect us to win our next game, and that's my full focus right now is on the next game on Friday night, and obviously this weekend, and you know, we've got to get back in the WCHA race here. You know, you can't get too far behind too early. So, no question. I like I said, I'm bullish on this team. I like this team a lot. We've just got to